Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to talk with folks from the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House. It's time for their annual sleep out. It's a major fundraiser for them. They don't do a lot of them. It's a great opportunity to support the work at the Dudley House. We're going to catch up on what's going on over there and a bit more about the sleep out with those guests today. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Brianna Wingen with the first and second reading, and Father Darren Schmidt with the gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord, "You son of man, I have appointed watchmen for the house of Israel. When you hear me say anything, you shall warn them for me. If I tell the wicked, 'O wicked one, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his way, the wicked shall die for his guilt. But I will hold you responsible for his death. But if you warn the wicked, try to turn him from his way, and he refuses to turn from his way, he shall die for his guilt. But you shall save yourself." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no evil to the neighbor. Hence, love is the fulfillment of the law. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, recently the Faith and Business Conference 2017 was held in Sioux Falls. The event was a half-day gathering of local faithful with global leaders speaking on the relationship between faith principles and business practices. This year's theme, Profit and Stewardship, addressed the creation and value of profit and how to steward it justly. There were over 250 people in attendance at the Ramcota Hotel in Sioux Falls. You can read and see more about this year's Faith and Business Conference in the September edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, Mercy Sister Rita Park stood near the large crowd in front of the White House that was almost silenced after U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced this week that the Trump administration was ending the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program. I'm astounded, saddened. I saw their faces, the tears, and their dreams shattered, said Sister Parks, of some of the DACA recipients nearby who were trying to take in the recent news. Many of them, the majority in their 20s, had just heard what they didn't want to believe, that the program that grants them a work permit and reprieve from deportation is months away from disappearing. Some, like Catholic DACA recipient Claudia Quinones, who was in the Washington crowd, had held out hope until the moment of the announcement that President Donald Trump would make a decision with heart, as he had earlier promised, regarding the program that allows beneficiaries like her, brought to the U.S. as children without legal documentation, certain protections. Instead, his attorney general said that by giving job permits to DACA recipients, Jobs were denied to hundreds of thousands of Americans by allowing those same jobs to go to illegal aliens, meaning the young migrants. Sessions also criticized the program, calling it unilateral executive amnesty, and said it was responsible for a surge of unaccompanied minors on the southern border that yield terrible humanitarian consequences. However, many organizations have attributed the surge of unaccompanied minors to scaling violence in Central America, not to the DACA program. Catholic Church leaders, immigration officials, and university presidents were swift and unanimous in their condemnation of President Donald Trump's decision this week to phase out the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA program. In the past, the president stated that the Dreamer story is about the heart, yet the decision is nothing short of heartless, said Chicago Cardinal, that is, Blaise J. Supich. The Dreamers are now left in a six-month limbo during which Congress is supposed to pass comprehensive immigration reform, a feat they have been unable to achieve for a decade, he said in a statement this week. The rescission of DACA, announced by Attorney General Jeff Sessions, places the estimated 800,000 undocumented immigrants, many of whom were brought to the United States as young children and have known no other home, under threat of deportation and losing permits that allow them to work. From August through December, according to the Department of Homeland Security, the work permits of more than 200,000 DACA recipients will expire, and only 55,000 have submitted requests for permit renewals. The decision to end DACA is a heartbreaking disappointment, said Gene Atkinson, executive director of the Catholic Legal Immigration Network. She also said her organization, that is, rejects and adamantly disagrees with Sessions' untested personal opinion that DACA is unconstitutional. Catholic Charities USA presented a $2 million check this week representing donations received to date for immediate emergency assistance for those impacted by Hurricane Harvey and its catastrophic flooding. 100% of the funds raised will go directly to immediate and long-term recovery efforts. Making the presentation was Dominican Sister Donna Markham, president and CEO of Catholic Charities USA, accompanied by Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Siller of San Antonio, Bishop Brendan J. Cahill of the neighboring Diocese of Victoria, J. Antonio Fernandez, president and CEO of Catholic Charities for the Archdiocese of San Antonio, that is, and Monsignor J. Brian Bransfield, general secretary of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Long way to go down there, Gene.
It is.
Yeah, they'll be recovering for a while.
Exactly.
All right, thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Chad Campbell and Amanda Stid from the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House. And Chad, Amanda, good to have you here. Chad, good to have you back. Amanda, first timer, so we're going to go easy on you today as best we can. Well, we're going to talk about, of course, all the things that are going on at the Bishop Dudley House, the good that's being done, and the money that it takes to do that good. We have the annual sleep out coming up, and we want to talk about that a little bit, opportunities for people to participate. I'll leave it at that, Chad.
Definitely. Well, in October, we have our annual sleep out event, A Night of Hope for the Homeless, and that's going to be October. Let's take a look here. October 19th, 2017, starting at 6 p.m. down at the house at 101 North Indian Avenue. And we're going to start with just a really basic program and have everybody check in who's going to sleep out, Jerry. And they're going to come in and we'll treat them just like we would our guests who come in every single night. Because every night when the guest comes in, we make sure that they bring in those things that we wouldn't want to have there, meaning for safety and security reasons. So we want to go through that so they can experience that. And then we'll have a very light meal that'll be provided by the facility, and the board of directors will be preparing that. And then after that, we'll have a short program that'll probably start around 7:30 to 9 p.m. And we're really going to go through and talk a little bit about what we do in a little bit more detail. We're going to share some stories about real individuals who've been down at the house. And then at about 9 o'clock, we'll start getting everything ready for those folks to go outside and to sleep.
We've done this a couple of years.
Correct. Already. This will be our third year, Jerry.
And it has raised a really impressive amount of money, which very much is needed. We don't do a lot of fundraisers at the Dudley House.
No, you know, our major focus is number one is that we want to work with each individual person who comes down to the house and is a sponsor and a donor. So we work with them individually. We talk to them about what their areas of expertise are, whether that's in volunteering, whether that's financial contributions. But we really try to have those daily interactions with them so then we can keep that giving going on all year, because a majority of our funding, I would say well over 90% of our close to $1 million budget, is through the individual gifts from individuals in our community.
And I know the community has been very responsive. We've really had terrific support from the
community. We've been very blessed, Jerry, ever since, you know, we started working on this project. When we share what our mission is and what our ministry is, people are very excited about that because we really try to meet that guest where they're at and then at the same time build them up and encourage them to take control of their lives so they can do better. And that's one of the big pieces and a foundation of what we do.
And Amanda, I know part of what you're trying to do is help share that story more using social media and other means to do that because it is a pretty cool message. There's a lot of good that's happening.
Definitely. We have a lot of really great stories. Recently on our Facebook, we did a kind of profile on one of the residents that was a success story, and that was really wonderful, and we got a lot of great feedback. So that's the portion of the Night of Hope for the Homeless that I'm really looking forward to. We actually have a resident that's going to come in and speak, and then we have stories from past and current guests. So I think that's going to be really informative for anybody who wants to come.
And a lot of people maybe can't come, but I bet you're going to probably share that message that you hear that those that are there that night will hear. You'll probably try to share that on social media as well.
Definitely. You can check out our website or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. We have both of those. And that really will keep you up to date to the day-to-day things that are happening, the volunteers, the opportunities, the things that we need. So if you're really looking to kind of stay really up to speed on us, that's the best way to do it.
BDHH.org.
Yes,
Start there, and then can you link to the Facebook and the Twitter and everything else from there?
Right from there.
Okay, so that's probably the best way to do that. We'll give you that again as we go along this morning. Chad, some folks might say, well, okay, you're doing the sleep out and you're raising money. How does that translate into raising money? How does that happen?
Well, the biggest thing of what we do is during this time of year with our sleep out event is that we really work with a lot of corporate sponsors, Jerry, and we talk to the local businesses and those in our community who can really help us and support us because our ministry does take a lot of dollars because the biggest expense that we have is people. Mm-hmm. When you're working with people who are struggling with a multitude of issues, we have to have the adequate staff on hand who are trained, who understand how to interact with these folks so everybody stays, number one, safe, but then number two, provides that necessary guidance to them so that they can go and take that next step. So by partnering with these corporations, they really help us really fill that need for our funding over the course of the entire year. And without that funding, it gets difficult for us to continue to offer the same type of services that we have for the last 2.5 years.
And again, you found pretty good response.
Oh, definitely. What we do is we work with all of our board members, and our board members go out and they work with all of their different folks that they've come into contact with in our community. And we just tell our story of the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House and where we started, where we are, and where we hope to go. And just by sharing that story, the corporations, and we've also had individual large donors to this have been just so responsive to us and helping us, saying, we want to help you meet that need.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Amanda, I know you're newer to the community. You're still getting to know some of these folks, still getting to know, in a sense, Dudley House and kind of the ebb and flow of things. But what have you seen so far that's really kind of struck you or impacted you about how this work with the homeless happens?
Well, it's been really great to see how many people in Sioux Falls really care about the city. And I think this is a major part of that. You know, we have a 21-member board of directors, and all of those people are really active in the community. And not only them, but just the people that walk in day to day. We put out a Facebook post that we were looking for 2 computers. And by the end of the day, we had 2 computers plus a donation.
Wow.
So people are really out there looking to kind of encourage us and be a part of this. And I think that's really outstanding.
You know, one of the things that people worry about is, and it goes by different names, but I'll use the one that I hear frequently, donor fatigue. Mm-hmm. You hear about that and, you know, people get a little numb to issues because we've talked about what's going on at Dudley House now. Well, since the beginning, right?
Correct.
For three years now, we've been talking about the need for it, first of all, and then the work that's gone on since it opened. Do you find any of that, or do people still understand, gosh, this is an ongoing issue? It's not likely to go away.
I think that, you know, we try to be very sensitive to that terminology that you use, that donor fatigue. And, you know, when we reach out to our donors, we try to reach out only a couple times a year, 2 or 3 times, So we can just, number one, tell the story of what we're continuing to do. But number two, we realize that there's a lot of other folks who are doing great things too in our community. And a lot of the folks that we deal with probably get asked by other people for gifts and things like that. So we want to be very sensitive to that. And, you know, whether that's financial gifts, whether that's gifts of time, whether that's gifts of things, as you just heard Amanda mention, you know, we don't exclude any of those things. So if somebody can't give a financial gift right now, we understand. But maybe they can come down and help volunteer in our kitchen, or maybe they have that extra computer that they can donate to us that's only a year old. Or, you know, we had a great donor who called me just about a month ago, and I had worked with her probably, oh, about 16 months ago, and she called and said, I have a one-year-old washer for you. Would you come in? Is that something you can use? And that's, you know, definitely something we can use, because, you know, on any given, you know, month, we're doing hundreds of loads of laundry. So, I mean, everybody helps out in different ways. And to me, that's what's so beautiful about what we do, is that in every story, there's also a backstory.
Yeah.
I think people really like to see that we are making a difference in a lot of these individuals' lives, and a lot of these folks are transitioning. And, you know, I just don't feel that, you know, it's something that, you know, there's just this magic thing that we can do to make this problem go away, because there's not. Because when you're dealing with humans, we all have different perspectives, different angles. We come with different approaches, and we have different experiences that take us to different places.
Yeah.
So it's, how do we connect with them to try to say, hey, you have value, and rebuild?
And I think one thing that we're really focusing on right now is expanding our donor base. So that's why we're getting so involved with our Facebook and our Twitter and things like that, because we want to reach out to new people. We want the people that we have right now to reach out to their friends and tell their friends about us, because we know with such a great community that we're in, that there are people out there that don't know what we're doing that would love to be involved. So if you know of anybody, you know, get them on our Facebook, get them in contact with us, because we're constantly looking to replenish our donors with new faces and, you know, new people that bring new skills to the table.
That's a really great point. You know, there's a big community.
Correct.
And beyond this community, we really, in all honesty, serve well beyond the Sioux Falls area, because people tend to come here.
Correct.
From all over, right?
They gravitate to Sioux Falls.
I know we have listeners all over Eastern South Dakota listening to this program right now. They all ought to be helping.
Correct.
Really, there's opportunity to help.
There's an opportunity to help, and whether that's through, you know, financial contributions. I mean, we've had people who are in Huron or Aberdeen, they'll come down and they'll take a tour of the facility because they knew somebody that came down to our facility. Or, you know, you say we reference Eastern South Dakota. We help individuals from Northern Iowa. We help individuals from the western part of Minnesota, because in Sioux Falls, that's where a majority of the robust services are located. Mm-hmm. And so all these folks are coming here and they're looking for work, they're looking for housing, and, you know, those are two difficult things that people struggle with, especially if they don't know a lot of people in the community. So it's all those individuals, by expanding our network of friends, as I like to call it, it'll really help us diversify our donor base. And that's what it's really all about, is, you know, sharing that story with other people and just really growing that network. Because, you know, if we can get a bunch of individuals who can donate, you know, $100 a month or $200 a month, that goes a long way in helping us sustain the life-giving efforts that we do down at the house.
Yeah, I've heard the two of you have been doing a little brainstorming about how to make that happen. You got some ideas. I don't know if you're really, are you ready to share them yet? Or is that still, are they still percolating?
We're still percolating some ideas.
I want to put you on the spot, but.
Still percolating some ideas, but that's kind of what the platform of this was, is, you know, really focusing on how do we grow that donor base and really use the people that we have in our family of helping us to branch out and get more donors and more individuals to help us. And like I've always said, it's not necessarily just financial, but it's just understanding our mission and participating in that mission.
Mm-hmm. We really want to make the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House a community effort. You know, it helps all of us, and we really want everybody to be a part of it in whatever way you can.
We're talking with Chad Campbell and Amanda Stid from the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House, particularly focusing on the sleep out at the fundraiser that's coming up in October. I know you have a nice lineup of people who represent the community in different ways that are going to participate in the sleep out this year.
Yeah, we have a very diverse group of individuals who are going to sleep out this year. Private company individuals, we have city officials, some county officials, and, you know, bringing them all in, because I think that it helps to tell that story of, you know, we've had different city councilors sleep on our facility, and having that same message kind of being shared amongst everybody, it's a different perspective when you experience it firsthand versus me telling you about it. So when you are waking up in the middle of the morning at 3 a.m. and you hear that train going by, or you hear that barking dog, or maybe maybe some people walking by, and the only thing separating you from that environment is just a very thin tent, or in some cases it's nothing. It's people sleeping on the sidewalks. It's kind of a scary thing. Mm-hmm. So I think for these folks to experience that, I think it really says that we do have this problem here in our community. And as these city and civic leaders and, you know, private industry folks get involved, they can take that message back to where they came from and really talk about and saying they have a beautiful message and how can we get involved?
And they become champions in a sense for the work of the Bishop Dudley House.
Correct.
Yeah. They may not know that coming in.
Correct.
But I think we've seen from years past, if they weren't coming in, they certainly are coming out.
And I think that's a big thing, is that when somebody comes in, we try to, you know, find individuals who maybe have a little exposure to us, but maybe not know exactly what we do. So when they come in and they experience all the different things that we do and how we actually engage the guests, it just, I think, creates this, wow, this is right here in Sioux Falls. And we know that there's a lot of, you know, catastrophes that happen all over the world in the United States, but we have this problem right here in our own community. So what better way to really try to help fix what's broken in your own backyard?
You know, one of the goals when the Bishop Dudley House was being formed was that that it not create something new, or to create something new, but not to duplicate other services and to work with other providers for the various needs that people have. We're in this now a few years. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like that's going?
I feel that it's going fairly well. And, you know, with any type of nonprofit organization, I think there's certain situations that dictate, by funding, of course, what can happen and what doesn't happen at those agencies. But we've had a very good, consistent group of individuals who have been down at the house. And connecting those individuals with those resources is what makes us successful. And without those collaborative partners, you know, we would basically just be a hotel. Mm-hmm. So having those resources available for these folks is what really separates us from the next agency, is that we are here, we provide that safe, secure environment, but then we also have this myriad of other services that are there for you to take advantage of. And it's one of those things where, you know, I've learned, you know, the hard way over the last 3 years, is that it's when that guest is ready. That is probably the biggest thing, is that when that guest is ready, they can take that next step. I can't make anybody take that step themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's as they're embraced by what we do, as they talk with our staff and they know that the staff is there for them and they trust the staff, then that's when those walls really start to break down. And then that's when we can really start to make those connections with those other agencies, because they see that we're there for them and we're not just going to cast them aside.
Yeah, absolutely. I would think for the guests too, they can begin to feel trusting.
Correct.
That this is meant to help them. It's not imposing something on them, but it's meant to help them.
Correct. And that's the biggest picture that we try to sell, is that, you know, you don't have to live this way. There's a better way. And we understand that you've had challenges, you've had obstacles in your past. That's why you're here. So we care about you, you know, wherever you came from, whatever your background is. But all we ask is that when you come, you're respectful to the staff, you're respectful to the volunteers. And then you start to look at the various services we offer and then start to connect with those that you feel you need. And we will give that encouragement to them to say, hey, maybe you need to talk to these folks, and give them that guidance too.
And sometimes it takes a long time.
Correct.
Doesn't it? It's not a snap your fingers kind of
no.
a thing.
Because a lot of the folks that we deal with, they've been down a lot of different roads. People have promised them things. Those promises didn't come to fruition. So then their trust level is very small. So it takes time to deliver that trust. And then once that trust is delivered, it can be expanded. I mean, there's people that we have served, Jerry, since we've started, that still they trust what we do and they use our services, but they don't see that, well, I don't have value still.
Mm-hmm.
They've lived so long with society beating them down that they still don't see their own value. So they'll come and, you know, spend a night here, a night there at the facility, but otherwise they choose to sleep outside because they don't have any self-worth.
That sense of dignity.
And that sense of dignity. Yeah. I just talked to a woman this morning who said, Chad, it was cold last night. And I said, why didn't you come here? You know, well, the other folks slept outside too. So it's that dignified piece is what a lot of the folks are missing, because society can be cruel at times.
Yeah, yeah. It's a complicated thing.
It is. It is one of the most complicated things that I've ever dealt with in my life.
Complicated by their own circumstances.
Correct.
Complicated often by addictions and mental illness.
Correct.
And family troubles and you name it. And it just makes it a real tough thing to untangle.
Correct. Because a lot of those relationships that they formed with people in the past, you know, especially if it was an immediate family member, and those trust pieces are gone, it's hard to instill trust in a complete stranger, for lack of a better word.
Amanda, I'm going to go back and put you on the spot because, again, you are a little bit newer to the community, a little bit newer to the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House, and therefore, I'm thinking those that aren't familiar with Dudley House might relate to you in the sense of being able to explain to them why you think they should be a why should they be a supporter? I mean, you've been here a little while and you're already kind of really on board.
So when I was in other cities, I've lived in large cities my whole life, you know, I've worked at runaway shelters before, and none of them provided the same resources that the Bishop Dudley does. We make sure that you get in contact with everybody that you need. We make sure that we reach out for you if you don't have that resource and find it for you. You know, I sit next to the office that's the rotating office, and I enjoy that because I get to see every single, you know, collaborative partner that comes through the door, and I get to see how they help people and how they reach out to them. And I just think that's so different than anybody else. And it really, it builds that relationship, and it allows people, even if they're not, you know, able to move forward or, you know, make any progression at this point in time, it means that they come back. There are so many relationships that I've seen since I've been there where they walk in and they know Chad or they know Maria by name and they've dealt with them before.
Yeah.
And, you know, they come in and they can help them get to where they need to be. So, I mean, that's what really makes it different.
So, again, we're going to remind you, the Sleepout's coming up in October, October the 19th?
Yep, October 19th of this great year, 2017, starts at 6 p.m., and we'll have a program between 7:30 and 9 p.m., so the public is welcome to come down to that. We'd love to fill that room and tell a little bit about the message and some of the great things we do, and just to hear some of the stories of real life of individuals that we've helped down at the facility. And once you hear those stories, it really starts to change your perspective of, wow, my brother had a very similar situation, or my sister, or an aunt, or an uncle. And it really relates to you, and you can feel that I can personally make a difference.
Love to have people's input, love to have people's support. Obviously, the financial support is critical to the ongoing work of the Dudley House, bdhh.org, and you can like the Facebook page, and please do that, and tell your friends to do it too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you can donate right on our website, or you can come by the facility. We'll give you a tour. We'll let you see kind of what we do firsthand. That would be great.
Awesome. Chad Campbell and Amanda Stid, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Jerry.
Gene, I want to go back to your story about the flood for the or the hurricane, and people are able to help out. Lots of different ways they can do so, including in their parish.
Exactly. Bishop Swain authorized a second collection for hurricane relief. And in different parishes, it's been either held already or will be in the coming weeks, some this weekend. But it's a good opportunity for people to focus on and zero in and contemplate how they can help, how they even every little bit helps. And they are able to prayerfully discern what they can do.
And can be very confident that the money is going to be well spent through the work of Catholic Charities. As you indicated in your story, they're on the ground. They're there. They're doing the work.
And they do 100% of what they've collected goes to the relief effort.
All right. That's for that. Take a chance and help them out. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We'll be back next Sunday.